Akron Church. Good morning, kids. You're part of the church, too. So glad that you are here with us on this Sunday. So welcome, welcome. And any visitors or guests, we are so glad you're here as well. And I want to, before we begin, hopefully everybody received one of these cards and you didn't fill it out yet. The card has three questions on it. If you didn't get one, we'll make sure the ushers bring you one. But this is going to be kind of, we'll stop at different points during the sermon to answer those questions. And I've entitled today's message, Moving Forward. And we know that God is the sovereign one who holds all time in His hand. And I just think it's a special opportunity we have this year as we worship on New Year's Eve. What a way to end the year as we look forward to moving into a new year. And God is the God that is always going before His people. So whatever awaits us in 2018, we know that God is already there. So whatever awaits us, we can face it. Because God has it in His hands. He's there. Now, as we literally stand on the edge of a new year, well, years ago, I was when I was running a lot, I had a subscription to Runner's World magazine, but I found that it often repeated itself in the issues, and you could always count on two things being repeated from Runner's World magazine. One was the greatest or the best recovery drink is chocolate milk. And they would repeat that like every episode, every issue. It would say, what's the best thing to drink after a long run? And it would always say the same thing, chocolate milk, not Gatorade, not anything like that, because it has the protein in it and it has the sugar in it, so it's liquid form, so it's quickly ingested into your system for recovery reasons. So chocolate milk is the best recovery drink according to Runner's World magazine, and they would repeat it ad nauseum. But you could also count on Runner's World magazine, their January cover would always have these words on it. Can you see them? New Year, New You. Every January cover, and if you don't believe me, go back and Google it. January covers of Runner's World magazine, chances are somewhere on it, it will say New Year, New You. I mean, do they have to repeat it every year? Maybe, right? Yeah. New Year, New You. Well, I would just suggest to us this morning that the reality of a new you is not possible without actively being a part of Christ's community. And likewise, Christ's community will not grow to maturity without you. And keeping with that theme of running, which our scripture passage touches on, when I reflect on my running days, I would not have accomplished what I accomplished in running. Again, this was a long time ago now. But I would not have accomplished it without a group of runners around me to support me. As I was reflecting back on that this week, I had my one friend of mine that I would run often with. His name was Dave. And Dave was really dedicated. Like sometimes I worry about Dave. He's so dedicated. But he would have to be at work at 7 o'clock in the morning, so he would always run like super early in the morning. And there were times, don't judge me here, there were times where I would meet Dave at 3:30 in the morning for an 18-mile run so he could get his long run in before work. Even in the wintertime, we would do that. Like the temperature out here, like we'd do an 18-mile run in that, and at like 3:30 in the morning by headlamps, like in Wayne County. It was just, yeah, I don't even think about it today. Don't ask me because I'll tell you no, right? But my point is, like, I would not have done that if I knew that Dave wouldn't be there waiting for me. at that point in time. Right? So it's just a small, simple picture of the importance of being in community with people, being in community with one another, where you encourage one another. If we are in this community together, then there's a better chance that we will be stronger together, and that we will grow together, and that we will move forward together. And I believe that Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3, which our brother Tyler read for us this morning, that these verses point us in this same direction. And I just want to mention too that personally, I think Paul wrote Hebrews. That's just my opinion. So if that just pops out, ultimately we don't know who wrote Hebrews, but you might hear me just without thinking about it say Paul. And so just that's, I just wanted to let you know that's kind of my opinion. I know Judah and I talk about this, but anyway, and I want to just read this again. So if you have your Bible, just open back up to Hebrews, and I just want to read this again, and I want to just point out real quick in these three verses the plural language, right? So just I want to note the plural language, and so it says, therefore, since we we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and here it is again, let us together run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Again, us. Fixing our eyes. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you... See, here's one of the things about the word you in the Scripture. More often than not, it's a plural you, and this is a plural you. This isn't just talking about you as an individual. This is a plural you referring to the body of Christ. You, plural, you together will not grow weary and lose heart. The picture of community here, of running this race together as the body of Christ, is something that is not to be missed. And kids and parents, this includes everybody. The Holy Spirit does not come in child size, let us not forget. This involves you too, kids. You are part of this body of Christ, an active and growing part of this body of Christ. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank You so much for the gift of community. Thank You for Your Son who is the head, the center, the focal point, the foundation stone of this community we call the church. And Jesus, we thank You that You are the one who promises that You will build Your church. And You also promise that You will give Your church, You will give us the keys of the kingdom so that we can bind and loose things in heaven and on earth. So, Father, it's in light of those promises that You've given us through Your Son that I pray right now that You would place in my hand the key of the kingdom so that through me Your Spirit would open us up. That through these words this morning, the keys of the kingdom would bind and loose things in this place here on earth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to talk about moving forward together. Moving forward together as the body of Christ. And a question we may want to ask is, how can we move forward together? And I'm going to suggest three things today, three kind of responses or parts of the process for this based on Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. And weeks ago, I wasn't sure what this gathering would look like, and I might have even mentioned publicly about we were going to build an altar, but then the Lord kind of led me in a different direction as I chatted with people and as I consulted Scripture, and the Lord kind of landed us here on this picture of moving forward together. And so how do we move forward together? I want to suggest that according to Hebrews 12, we first must honor the past. He says in the first part of verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and whenever we see a therefore in Scripture, we need to ask ourselves, what's it? Therefore. Thank you, good. What's it therefore? Because that means it's a summary statement of what has come before. And what comes before this verse is a large chapter, chapter 11, where the author talks about how all of these men and women of the life of the body, mostly referring to Old Testament, but some references to New Testament believers in there as well, but how they lived by faith. They endured suffering by faith. They struggled, but they made it through by faith. They lived and relied upon God, even though they might not have seen what they wanted to see, but God was faithful to them and they endured by faith. As a matter of fact, at least 23 times in that chapter, it mentions by faith or through faith. So, that list, and I made that part of your diving deeper, in some ways that list of what we could call the hall of faith is an example for us, and in some ways we stand upon their shoulders. And so, when we look at this great cloud of witnesses, we could look at it as kind of a stadium filled with cheering people, and they're cheering us on while we run the race in the middle of the stadium. But I think more or less that could be what the author is referring to here. But I think what the author is referring to is that the idea of witness in the Scripture is more often the word witness is where we get the word martyr from, actually. And it's a witness is somebody who is living out their faith before others. So it's in a sense, I don't think it's in the sense of they're standing up there looking down on us, cheering us on, saying go, go, go. But rather, we are able to live today by looking at their example because they lived by faith. And so we stand upon their shoulders. And so how can we honor the past here at Millersville? I want to just mention a few ways that those who have come before us here at Millersville, Brethren in Christ Church, have demonstrated faithfulness, and God's faithfulness was demonstrated to them and through them. And you and I are seated here today because of those who have gone before us. And some of them are still here among us today. This church started as a church plant in the mid-1980s with the faithfulness of a couple families from Pequoy BIC and Manor BIC who felt the call of God to start a Brethren in Christ church here in the Millersville area. And we are here today because of those faithful families who, when dealing with difficulties of church planting, and if you've ever talked to church planters, it's not an easy thing. But by faith, this church was planted. By faith, that group of people rented a space up the road here at what is now the Immerse House. It used to be the International House, right up here on 999. That's where the first worship gatherings were held, in kind of a brick, one-room kind of schoolroom, right? Judah could talk about that. Nick could talk about that. And then they outgrew that space. God was faithful to their faithfulness. And they outgrew that space and they began to look for property. And the Lord led them here. And when they were able to purchase this property, they began to build this building, and they didn't hire contractors. Those who came before us built this building we are worshiping in right now with their own hands. With their own sweat. With their own blood. Because they were faithful. And they were living and acting by faith. So the fact that we are worshiping here right now today is because of the faithfulness of those who have come before us here and their obedience to the Lord. What debt they did incur, they were able to pay off within 5 years of this place. Because they were faithful. And God was faithful. More recently, the purchase of the M2 building next door, which sometimes we might not realize it, but the community connections that this church has with our wider community through just that building being used, it's quite remarkable. And then there's the faithfulness of those who began the ministry of the loft, started by lay people, not by pastoral leadership, but by lay people who felt a burden, a call from God to start the loft. And I can't even begin to tell you the amazing partnership that the loft ministry of Millersville Brethren in Christ Church has with the Penn Manor School District. The social workers have keys to this building and they are in and out all week long with families and kids. Kids from Penn Manor School District clean M2, the life skills kids. What a neat connection that this church has with the school district in that regard, through the ministry of the loft, through M2. And not to mention, on Wednesday nights, we have the opportunity to help support on the average of 25 families through the loft, on average. God is taking and expanding the reach of the loft within Penn Manor. But again, God's faithfulness is building upon the faithfulness of those who felt that call and burden to begin that ministry and by faith took those steps. So friends, we could talk about more, but these are just some examples about how we at Millersville here honor the past. And let us remember that we together, we stand on the shoulders of these men and these women who have gone before us. And now if you would turn to your card, the first question is, who is somebody from your past that you are thankful for? And I know that not all of us, it might not be somebody from the past of Millersville, because we are a church and there's some new families and new people and you might not have that connection that some others have, and that's okay. But who is somebody whose shoulders you stand upon, who built into your faith and encouraged you to be where you are today in Christ? Take a moment and write their name down. And nobody's going to see these except for you, okay? I want to make that clear. Nobody's going to see these except for you. So it's not anything that's going to be shared. Write that woman's name down. Write that man's name down. Who was that person? Who is that person who by faith you stand upon their shoulders right now? Write that down. Write that down. And we're going to do something with these at the end. So I just want to let you know that. Write that down. So we move forward together by honoring the past. Secondly, we move forward together by acknowledging the present. Look at what the author of Hebrews writes in the rest of verse 1 and verse 2. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So, we honor the past, but we must also acknowledge the present. And I want to suggest to us this morning that it's here in acknowledging the present that this is the place, as we bring things from darkness into the light of Christ, this is often the moment where transformation begins to happen. When we acknowledge the present and not try to hide it or not just try to hold on to it ourselves, but when we bring it to the light, this here, my friends, is the moment of transformation when the light of Christ shines on it. But we have to acknowledge it. And there's probably much for us to acknowledge. Paul says, oh, there it was, see? Paul says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And it's commentators talk about the language there, most likely referring to the where it says throw off everything that hinders. Commentators seem to think that the language there is actually referring to like shedding weight. Shedding weight so you can run more freely, so you can run more easily. But then the other part, the sin that so easily entangles, that's kind of a nice picture. I mean, think about trying to run when your legs are entangled in vines or roots or tall grass. It slows you down. It holds you back. I used to have a rugby coach that if he felt we were dogging it, meaning running slow, he would always yell out, unhook the trailer. In other words, that was his way of saying, pick up the pace. Stop dogging it. Right? So Paul is saying here, shed things that are holding you down, unhook the trailer so that you can run this race marked out before you with perseverance. And so acknowledging these things, these difficulties, these things that want to hold us back, the trailers that we're dragging around, we need to unhook these things so that we can run free in Jesus Christ. And I want to just mention some of these things to us corporately as a body so we can kind of acknowledge these things together. The last 3 or 4 years, we've experienced much. I mean, my family and I arrived a little over 4 years ago, and whenever you have a pastoral transition, there's always differences in that process. It's just a natural thing. Bring in somebody who has maybe a different ministry, of philosophy of ministry, different approach, different way of doing things. It's a change. Period. And who likes change? Right? But that is something our church has experienced about 4 years ago. A pastoral change. We've also experienced, we've had a number of families move out of the area. I can think of a family that moved to Gettysburg, a family that moved to South Carolina, a family that moved to upstate New York, a family that moved to Indianapolis. And all of those families had kids, and those were families that were connected with this church body for a long period of time. And there may even be others, but there's those at least those 4 families. And whenever a family departs, we feel it, don't we? Because we are a community, and we love one another. We break bread together. We watch one another's kids. We experience life together. And that can hurt. Even though it's a natural attrition in some ways, it can still be difficult. We've had leaders transition. I can think of our youth ministry, how we've had leaders transition off and on throughout our last couple years with our youth ministry. We had a church leader who and their family who was a part of our church, the Roars. We love the Roars. But the Lord led them to Palmyra to be a part of a growing church there in an executive leadership role. And we blessed them. But that still hurts, doesn't it? Still hurts, but we have to acknowledge that. We're a church that has had to endure the ripple effects of sinful choices on behalf of others. And in many ways, those ripple effects still linger, don't they? Some of you, I'm not going to go into details. Some of you might not understand what we're talking about, and that's okay. But there's others of us who that wound may still be fresh in some ways. And friends, we just need to acknowledge that so that it will no longer entangle and hinder us. All of these things, I think, in some way have led to a spirit of discouragement that has been hindering us. Perhaps these things have led to a mindset where we're just waiting for the other shoe to drop. Maybe some of us have even have thoughts of the grass is greener. Maybe there's another church where we could go that we would not have to worry about any such thing. But friends, I want to just encourage us that we are a community together. And a community endures the messiness together. This is a reminder for us to acknowledge these things, but we do so again together. We acknowledge the present. We also acknowledge that the only way that we will move ahead is by running the race marked out for us together. Together. The author of Hebrews tells us that we fix our eyes on Jesus. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. We run this race by fixing our eyes together on Jesus Christ. When we look at Jesus and what He had to endure, He suffered, but Jesus was able to stay focused on the end goal. The greatest example may be when He was in the Garden of Gethsemane and He was in such deep anguish that Luke tells us He was actually sweat drops of blood. It's not like a metaphor for He was just really sweating. You know, like we might say, boy, I'm sweating bullets. No, like Jesus was in that moment in such anguish, and you can read about it. It can be an actual medical condition brought on by extreme stress where He was sweating blood. But yet, in that moment, Jesus was able to endure because His focus was where? It was on doing the will of His Father. How are we going to move ahead into 2018? The only way we will do so is by corporately joining arms together and fixing our eyes on Jesus. Because we know that whatever we endure in the present is nothing compared to the glory that will be revealed when Jesus takes us in the glory together. So friends, I want to just say, in light of all of these things that we acknowledge, be encouraged, because Jesus is the one who is building His church. Our call is to be faithful to one another and to walk together with one another, not giving up on one another, not giving up the habit of meeting together. Hebrews 10 tells us that. But enduring together everything that comes our way, because we are not people who walk around defeated. Rather, we are men and women and children who walk around declaring and living in the victory of Jesus Christ, which is a victory that is ours that we can claim and profess right now. And I love, we could easily miss it here, but I think there's an actual reference to the death and resurrection of Christ in this. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. He died. He endured the shame of the cross. He died a cursed criminal's death on the cross. He died for us, this body of Christ. He died for us. But yet, that's not the end. Because where is He now? He sat down. That indicates that He sat down, indicates that His work is finished. Because if you're still working, you don't sit down. But Jesus now sits down, where? At the right hand of the throne of the Father in heaven. That is the position of authority and power. It's the cross and the empty tomb, friends. That is what we focus on. That is where we fix our eyes. So whatever comes our way is not greater than what Jesus has accomplished for this body. We can and we will endure and persevere as long as we do so together with our eyes fixed on Jesus. So 2018, whatever you got, bring it. Because it's not stronger than we are together as the body of Christ. This community, which we call the church, is messy. One of the reasons it's messy, even here at Millersville, is because It's such a diverse community that Jesus Christ is knitting together. I mean, we could even look around and we could point out how this room right now is full of Republicans and Democrats. This room is full of conservatives and liberals. This room is full of Anabaptists and evangelicals and Calvinists and Arminians. We could go on and on and on. We are a diverse community, but regardless of all of that, we are called to run this race together. Together. Which leads us to our second question. What is a present need that you have where you need the help of Christ and this community, His community? What is that? Write that down. Write that down. I find that when we either verbalize something or even just write it down, it can be kind of a cathartic thing, even though it's such a simple act. So don't stare at me right now. Write that down. What is the present need that you have where you need the help of Christ and His community? While you're thinking of that, just a running example. I remember there were a few races, ultra marathons, that I started but did not finish. I got those dreaded letters after my name, DNF, did not finish. And as I reflect on that, the moments where I made the decision to drop out of the race, a common denominator was, in those moments, I was by myself. I was alone on the trail in those moments. If I was with my buddy Dave or even just another random runner, but running together with somebody, the odds of enduring and persevering to the finish line would have gone up probably dramatically. It's a reminder that we are not meant to run this race alone. We need one another. We need the body of Christ. So what is the present need that you have where you need the help of Christ and His community, the church, this church? And then we have our third part. How can we move forward together? We honor the past, we acknowledge the present, and we focus on the future. We focus on the future. Look at verse 3. It says, "Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not," and again, that's a plural "you" there, "that you will not grow weary and lose heart." And notice that becomes future tense language. So that you will not. So as you're running this race into the future, you will not grow weary and lose heart. Again, it's a reminder to fix our eyes on Jesus. That's the only way that we will move ahead. The only way that we will move forward is by leaning into Him and encouraging one another to lean into Him. Because again, if we try to go it on our own, we will not make it. We cannot be a bunch of gathered individuals who just gather on Sunday and then scatter out and live our individual lives. We need to learn to do life together and lean into being the actual community of Christ. That's the way we move forward. Practicing gospel fluency, pointing one another continually to Jesus Christ. If somebody endures hardship, let's point back to the cross. If somebody falls into sin, let's graciously point them back to the cross. If somebody has a need, let's help point them back to the cross. If I'm left on my own, who's going to point me back to the cross? We need one another. So we focus on the future, but we do this together. And as we just pointed out a moment ago, the church is messy. I don't know if you checked recently, but it's full of sinners and we live in a culture of individualism. So we can expect the church to be messy. I mean, sometimes you might hear somebody say, "I wish we could just go back and be like the early church, and sometimes I want to say, really? Have you actually read the New Testament? If the church wasn't a mess, Paul wouldn't have any reason to write those letters. Because each one deals with messiness of the church. It's theology on the fly as he's traveling around and he hears about what each church and each individual geographical region is struggling with, and he's pastoring them regarding these issues and messiness from afar. And then there's always moments of church history like the Crusades. That's kind of a low-hanging fruit in some ways, pointing to the church's messiness. But here's what I'm going to say in light of that. Jesus knows and understands. I mean, we just came through Advent, and technically we're still in the Christmas season here, where we celebrate Christ the King, who came as a newborn baby. He literally walked a mile in our shoes. Do we understand that? He knows what it's like to be tempted. He has endured everything that we experience. He knows everything we're dealing with. He can relate. He can understand. He literally walked a mile in our shoes. He knows and understands the messiness of His body. However, the only way forward is for us to focus on Christ and together move forward in Him and with Him together. He is our model. And I want to say, He's more than our model. He is the one who is making His church holy. He's the one who's taking the mess that we are and knitting us together and building us up in Him toward maturity. But again, if we read the passages like Ephesians 4, which talk about that, that only happens as we are doing life together as the community under Jesus Christ, who is our head. We will not grow to maturity. You as an individual cannot grow to maturity on your own. You need other believers around you to encourage you and guide you and speak truth to you. Just as you need to be doing the same to other believers in your life. We need one another. The maturity of this body of Christ demands it. It's not just a nice suggestion or an option. It is God's vision for His people. We need one another. That is how we move forward. I love how Paul talks about it in Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14, and he's calling out the Philippians as an example and using his own life as an example here. And he says, not that I have already obtained all of this, referring to that perfection in Christ. He says, not that I've already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. It's the same for us. We cannot be content with where we are or who we are. We can't just pray a magic prayer and be content with that. The call to follow after Christ is to, like Paul does here, lean into it daily, acknowledging I'm not who I need to be, but yet I'm not the same person I was yesterday, but there's still so much more room for growth. And the only way we will experience that growth is by forgetting what's behind, pressing on toward what's ahead, which is Christ and Christ's likeness and His glory to which He is leading us. And the only way we get there is together. Together. So our third part, third question in two parts. What is your prayer for this community and for your personal walk for 2018? What is your prayer for this community and for your own personal walk for 2018? Take a moment and reflect on that. And while you're doing that, I just want to remind us that as we write this down, we need to also be reminded that these things will not just automatically happen, right? If I have a goal for myself, I can talk about it, but I also need to do something about it. Like I think of Jesus at the end of Matthew 9, where he looks on the crowd around him, and he has compassion on them, and he notices that they are harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And he tells his disciples, he says, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send workers out into the harvest field. And then you know what he does right after that? He sends them out into the harvest field. So he doesn't say, just pray to go out into the harvest field. He says, now I want you to go in my authority out into the harvest field. So when we pray, we don't just pray, but we also live into what we're praying for. So whatever your prayer is for this community, I want to encourage you to live into it this year. Whatever your prayer is for your personal walk with the Lord this year, live into it this year. And kids, that includes you as well. This isn't just for your parents. This is for all of us. And as we bring this to a close, in a moment we're going to come forward here and we are going to partake of the communion elements. And I want us to close out our time. We'll have our closing song to follow, but I want us to close out this message this morning with a lived out demonstration of us being the community of Christ by participating in the body and blood of Christ together. And I'm reminded of Amish saying, which is on the screen there, Velaspringa. If you run the Bird in Hand half marathon, you'll see this in different places. The Amish are really involved in that half marathon. They run it. They do the aid stations. It's really neat to see. You run up to an aid station about a quarter mile out. You can hear these voices: water, water, Gatorade, Gatorade, and it's like 20 like little Amish kids who are standing there with the cups of water and Gatorade, and they're just shouting that as you run, and you can hear them as you approach the aid station. Anyway, they have this saying, Velaspringa, and it means, translated, the joy of running in community. My hope and prayer for us, for 2018, for moving ahead, is that we would embrace Velaspringa, that we would experience the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ as we learn the joy of running in community together under the headship of Christ. So as we prepare to come and partake of these elements this morning, may we know Velaspringa. And I want to just also mention this. A little over 4 years ago, September 1st, 2013, when I was installed as pastor here, who knows what this is? A baton. A relay baton from the track. This was symbolically passed on to me. And I appreciate the symbolism. I get it. But over the years, off and on, as I've seen this in my office, I've just kind of reflected on it, and it hasn't sat right with me. You know why? I may be called to be the pastor. I may have that title among us here. I'm not the only pastor among us. I may have this kind of leadership role, and I get that. I'm not diminishing that at all. But the idea of passing the baton on to me, I think in some ways misses the point. This baton is not just mine. This baton is ours. This is yours. Just as equally as it is mine. We together need to take this baton. I don't want it anymore unless all of our hands are holding it together. Velaspringa won't happen until you, too, accept this baton
and we together learn to live into the community that Christ is calling us to be. Let's see that happen in Christ in 2018. So I'm passing this back to you, or should I say, to us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the head of this church. We thank you that you are the source of our faith, the source of this body. Everything we have is of you and from you. Nothing we have is from anywhere else. It's all because of you. And Lord, as we acknowledge and honor the past, and as we just in a moment acknowledge the present and just everything we've been through recently, and we look to focus on the future, we just cry out to you. We need you. Apart from you, we can do nothing. Both as individuals, but even more so as your collective body, the church. So Lord, it's my hope and prayer for us this morning that we would all equally grab that baton, acknowledging that we all have an equal role to fill in the forward movement of this body as we all seek to encourage one another to fix our eyes on you, as we encourage our children to learn to fix their eyes on you. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would lead us into glory, that you would lead us into whatever it is that you have for us. And I pray that we would learn to embrace and live into, and that we would experience Wellspringer, the joy of running in community through you, Jesus. So it's with this we commit this coming year to you. 2018 is yours. Father, we want to be transformed. We want what you want for us. So we acknowledge that you are already going before us, and we are excited to see what you're going to do in us and through us and among us as we learn to be community together in Christ Jesus this year. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.